calls us more than a conqueror. He calls us a chosen priesthood and a holy nation. So I want everybody to move like they're more than a conqueror. I want everybody to move like they know their authority in Christ. Amen.
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life God has given me, and I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am, I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I work in miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I work in miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. Whoa. Whoa, I know who I am. Whoa, whoa, I know who I am.
Come on, sing, you know who you are.
Oh, whoa, I know who I am. Oh, whoa, I know who I am.
We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. We are a chosen generation, called forth to show His excellence. All I require for life God has given me, I know who I am. I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am, I know who God says I am, what He says I am, where He says I'm at. I know who I am.
I'm walking in power,
I'm working miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am. I'm walking in power, I'm working miracles, I live a life of favor, 'cause I know who I am.
I know who I am. Oh, 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 I know who I am. Oh, 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 oh. How many of you know who you are in Christ? Hallelujah. Let me hear you shout, I know who I am. Let me hear you shout, I know who I am. You say, I'm not going back. I'm not going back. Hallelujah. If you're not turning back, let me see your hand. Hallelujah. Let me hear a shout. Hallelujah. And sing it with us.
I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. What a moment you have brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you, you're the healer that makes all things new. Yeah, 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 yeah. Sing it with me. I'm not going back, moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving forward.
Forward, yes, Lord. Hallelujah. Sing the verse with me one more time.
Hallelujah.
Sing it.
What a moment you have brought me to such a freedom. I have found in you, you're the healer that makes all things new. Yeah, yeah, yeah. Yeah, yeah, yeah. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward.
How many of you know that he made all things new in your life? He made all things new. Hallelujah. And you're going to follow him. Hallelujah. Yes, Lord. You're so worthy. Hallelujah. Sing it with us.
You made all things new, yeah, you make all things new, and I will follow you forward.
Sing that again.
You make all things new, yeah, you make all things new, and I will follow you.
One more time, one more time. Sing, you make.
You make all things new, and you make all things new, and I will follow you forward. I'm not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you my past is over in you. All things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving. I'm
not going back. I'm moving ahead. I'm here to declare to you, my past is over. In you, all things are made new. Surrendered my life to Christ. I'm moving, moving forward. Hallelujah. Give life, you are love, you bring light to the darkness, you give hope, you restore, Every heart that is broken, sing it with me. Great are you, Lord. You guys know it, sing it.
It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you.
Sing that again. Good. Sing it again. Yes, Lord.
You give life, you are love, you bring light into the darkness, you give hope, you restore every heart that is broken. Great are you, Lord. Yeah, it's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you.
Sing that again. It's your breath. Hey, yeah. It's in my love. I'll pour out my praise. I'll pour out my praise. Just give God a shout, hallelujah. Hallelujah. Worthy, Lord God, just so worthy. Hallelujah. If you know this part, sing it with me, because I'm going to shout it to the mountaintops, hallelujah. Sing it.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts, they cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord.
Sing that again.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing.
So we'll
pour out our praise.
Yeah, I'll pour out my praise. It's your breath. Hey, sing it one more time. It's your breath in our lungs. So we'll pour out our praise. We'll pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. So we're gonna sing this and all part, and we're gonna sing how great God is, but I want you to sing it with everything inside of you. Hallelujah. With everything inside of you, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Sing it with me. and all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Yeah, yeah, yeah. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry, these bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Let's talk with everything. We'll shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will say, great are you, Lord. It's your breath. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs, so we pour out our praise to you only.
Hallelujah. Come on now, we're just starting to break through. We're not there yet. You're right at the threshold. Come on, you're right at the threshold. He inhabits the praises of his people. Come on now, stop holding back. Let's sing that again. Give it all. Come on, give it all. Who cares what anybody says about you? Come on, give it all.
So we pour out our praise. Pour out our praise, it's your breath,
hallelujah,
in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise, it's your breath. Oh, in our lungs. So we pour out. All the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will
come on.
Cry.
Come
these
on.
Bones will
you're singing to
sing.
Jesus now.
Great are you, Lord.
Hallelujah. We worship you, Jesus.
And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you, Lord. Sing it one more time. And all the earth will shout your praise. Our hearts will cry. These bones will sing. Great are you.
Your My prayers in the morning have been very simple. And that is, Jesus, if you don't move in our lives, there is no way that we're going to change. We can try to be good people. We can try to do good things. But it's Jesus that changes a life. And you see, what happens many times is we just get so busy. I love these moments where he's just quiet with us. Because it demands, you know, it's really funny, because when you don't know what's going on, you're going like this. What'd they do, forget the next song? But what it is that this is your moment to have some quiet time with him. Many people don't take it. This is your moment. And the issue is that the anointing is what destroys the yoke. The anointing is what moves in your life. And when we're not paying attention, we can walk right by the presence of Jesus. We don't want people to see us, so we are just hiding. Maybe we've never worshiped a day in our lives. Today, you've got to make a choice. And that is, it's not for me. I mean, it's for you. If you want a breakthrough in your life, the way to break through is to allow him to touch you. But he can't touch you. Well, he can, but then people get mad because he lays you out. One man that I was sitting under at one point in time told me a story about, he went up to a woman who, she came to the prayer line. Her hair was just done at the beauty parlor, and her eyebrows were waxed. She looked just elegant. She was a very wealthy woman, had on a beautiful dress, very expensive dress. And he walked up to her and he says, "Listen, I don't want to fall." And he goes, "No problem. I won't even touch you." And he got about 3 inches from her face and she went straight down in a pile. She just got lambasted by the Holy Spirit. 45 minutes later, she got up, her hair's all disheveled, her makeup's all running because she was crying. Her dress is now wrinkled. And my friend walked over and said, "Sorry." And she said, "It's all right." You see, when Jesus touches you, it's all right. Amen? It's all right. It's those quiet moments where he really starts shifting things inside of you. He starts changing those things inside of you. Listen, I love the hoopla. I love to dance. I love when everyone's laying out on the floor. But honestly, those are great moments. But you can't live off your highs. You got to live in your consistencies. And the consistency is being in his presence. It's a daily walk. And it's these moments where he can talk to you. And he says, "You know what? Remember when I told you not to do that? And you did it anyways? Don't you remember you saw the result? Listen, I don't want you to do that anymore." And then you do what's called repentance. "Yes, God, I'm sorry. I recognize that I was wrong." And whenever we disobey God, we know it doesn't ever produce good fruit. Amen? And then some of you have been wondering what to do, where to go. "Pastor David, I've had a word for you since the moment you walked into the room. God has spoken to you, prophesied over you, and without any reservations, I can stand up here and say you're a mighty man of God. But you love to think. You sit in that truck and you think. And the Lord says, I've had you at the threshold of your miracle so many times, but then your thoughts have gotten in the way. The Lord says today, I'm going to shift something in you that you've had for many years. And it's nothing that you conjured up. It's you know how we were brought up. God's going to shift you. So get ready. Father, in the name of Jesus, right now, I just release the anointing. God, I thank you for a shift in his mind." Here it goes. "Father, I can see it just like a bird being let out of a cage. In Jesus' name,
I thank you that every lofty thought that would try to raise itself up against God will be arrested, Lord, even before it hits his head. Lord, he may live in this place of rest that you have called him to, and excellence, God, that you have already prepared him for. Lord, you've prophesied and prophesied. Now I call in those prophetic words in the name of Jesus. I command them to start happening right now in Jesus' name. And Father, I thank you, Lord, for his life and his family. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Hallelujah. Oh, I just feel God this morning. Amen. Jesus, Jesus. Can we sing that one more time? Will you sing it with everything you got? Now listen, if you're sitting, do me a favor. I know you might not want to stand. You don't have to. But sing it with everything you got. And if you're afraid of what people are going to say, go to the wall. Face the wall. Go to a corner. Find a spot. But at some point in time, he deserves it. For the very breath in your lungs, he gave you. Let everything that hath breath, oh, I feel in the spirit, let everything that hath breath, I said, let everything that hath breath, I said, let everything that hath breath praise the Lord.
It's your breath in my lungs, so we pour out our praise, we pour out our praise, it's your breath.
Jesus, 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 Jesus,
in our lungs,
so we pour out our praise, pour out. Hallelujah. To you and you only, God, do we love. There's the anointing. Come on, come on. Reach in, reach in, reach in. The anointing is there right now. The anointing is there right now. Reach in. Hallelujah. Jesus. Holy Spirit, please make the anointing so more tangible. We need more of a tangible presence, God. We want more. We want more. We want more. We want more. We want more of you, Jesus. We want more of you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Yes. Praise Jesus.
In our lungs, so we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise to you only. It's your breath.
Come on, sing.
Pour out our praise to you only.
Another prayer that he's had me been praying for about a week and a half is that he's shown me how many of you once had a significant move of the Holy Spirit in your life, but yet you haven't had a touch from God in a very long time. You can't talk yourself out. You know that you had that move of the Spirit in your life. You know you had that experience. Nobody can talk you out of it. But yet it's been so long. You're so dry. And the Holy Spirit wants me to ask you a question. What are you afraid of? Why are you standing aloof? Why are you standing back? Why are you just watching? The water that he has for you, he says you'll never thirst again. But he can't give you a drink unless you come to receive. And what he's watching, yeah, if you only are in my man cave when I pray, it's almost like your tongue is so dry. And the water is right there. And for whatever, you keep talking yourself out of the drink of water. I wanted to pick it up and throw it at you. And the Holy Spirit says, listen, I don't love you any less, and I'm waiting to refresh you. But you got to want the drink of water. So for whatever reason you're talking yourself out of the fresh water, I want you to know that sewage never tastes good. But the springs of living water will flow out of the innermost parts of your belly. Amen. And I want to challenge you. Lord, show me, five of you specifically, that you need to know why I'm praying for you, because he's very concerned. The enemy's, right now, you're so close to being completely uprooted and walking away from Jesus. And Jesus is saying, all you need is a little water, but you got to want it. Amen? You got to want it. Father, I pray for those five, Lord, that you showed me specifically. Lord, in the name of Jesus, I pray, God, that the devil who's blinding their minds, Lord, the devil who's speaking to them, Lord, the devil, even their flesh that's trying to talk them out of the move of the Holy Spirit, Lord, I bind that spirit in Jesus' name. Lord, in your name, I ask that you'll put a hunger. Holy Spirit, you dwell inside of them. Put a hunger in their heart for God again. I pray that even in the midnight hour, when everything is quiet, that they won't be able to shake talking to you. Father, refresh them before the enemy takes them. And I know they have a will, God, but I pray, Lord, your influence will be strong enough, Lord, that they will not choose to go back to where they came from, but will press on towards you. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. Why don't you go encourage one another while today is called today? That's the Bible in the book of Hebrews. Go find five people that you don't know and say, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
It's your breath in our lungs. So we pour out our praise. We pour out our praise. It's your breath in our lungs.
Okay, now, don't be a snob. Everybody get up and go find somebody. Find somebody. Say, good morning. You look just marvelous today.
So we pour out our praise to you. Your breath in our lungs. And we pour out our praise. We pour out.
Awesome opportunity for you to partner with Uproar Conference. We've broken it down. It costs about $50 per student, and we're so excited that you can play a massive part in this conference for years to come. What does that mean? That means $5, $10, $20 a month would be going towards conference to support a teenager. What you'd spend on Duncan one day, instead you're going to put it aside for conference. Everyone has an amazing opportunity to see a teenager's life changed forever. So we would love to partner with you and your family. You can meet us right out front in the foyer after this service, and we'd love to get this started off.
Grace and peace, this is Pastor Johnson, and I'm excited to tell you about some things that are happening here at His Tabernacle Church. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, it says, study to show thyself approved unto God. We have adult education that has been prepared just for you. You would do yourself a favor to go into the lobby and go to the tables that we have set up and ask for a brochure on our adult education. It stems from rock solid faith, to divorce care, to healing journey. We have a plethora of classes that can help you. I'm asking you, if you want to further your understanding in God and understand who you are, sign up for adult education under the leadership of that great Pastor Banfield. We're looking forward to see you sign up.
Hey church, it's that time of year again. We're doing the Baby Bottle Drive. This is to support the Southern Tier Pregnancy Resource Center. This is a pro-life organization, and they help young people make tough decisions in tough times. They provide so much for our community, and it's our turn to give back. This is how you get involved. You go to the hub, you grab an empty baby bottle. All the way up until Father's Day, you continue to fill this. If you fill it up, come back, grab another empty one for us, and then turn all the baby bottles in by Father's Day so that we can help support this great organization. Make sure you get your baby bottle today.
Can I begin?
Yes. Morning, His Tabernacle family. It's that time of year again for the family picnic. Every year, our church gets together at Harris Hill Youth Camp to enjoy an afternoon together, playing games and having food and having lots of fun and fellowship. This year, it is on Sunday, June 5th. We head up there right after church at 1 o'clock. You need to bring an extra large disc to pass and some yard games. The church will provide the paper products, and you bring the fun. We'll see you on Sunday, June 5th at Harris Hill Youth Camp.
Praise the Lord. There's a lot going on, isn't there? Turn to someone and say, hi, neighbor. How many of you remember Mr. Rogers? I love Mr. Rogers. Why don't we do this? I'd like you to turn to the person next to you and say, hello, neighbor. My name is. We're going to start something in this church, and that is, you got to know your neighbor. We're just not a lot of neighborly people. We've grown up in a different culture. Back 40, 50 years ago, you knew all of your neighbors, and they knew all of your business. That's not what we want. But you knew your neighbors. Nowadays, most people don't even know their neighbors. And I'm not talking just where you live. I'm talking right in church. And so today, we're starting this process to know your neighbor. So if you know the neighbor right next to you, I want you to find a neighbor near you that doesn't know you and say, hello, neighbor, my name is. Come on, go ahead. Know your neighbor. Well, I don't like to talk to people. I don't like people. I don't want anybody to know my name. You're going to be all right. You're such a neighborly church. Hallelujah. My wife said, you're taking up my time. Let's go. If you're a first-time guest at His Tabernacle Family Church, we want to welcome you. We are so blessed that you're here. We know going to a church for the first time many times is very uncomfortable. And we just want to applaud your bravery. If you're a first-time guest this morning, we have a gift for you. If you're a first-time guest, if you'll raise your hand, we're not going to embarrass you or anything like that. But if you're a first-time guest, raise your hand. We have a gift for you. Very good. Is there anyone here, your first-time guest? HT plus one. Everyone's brought at least one, right? We don't have enough gifts for everybody. Is there any guests in the house this morning? Wow, Folkums. Let's go. Next week, everyone brings one. Turn to someone and say, don't forget to bring your guest next week. We want to welcome all of the live stream family, our online campus. Can we give them a shout? Praise the Lord all over the nation. People are watching us this morning, and we want them to know that they're part of our family. We love you, online family. We thank you for being with us. Now let's listen to Pastor Rhonda as she shares the gospel.
Amen. As this, we enter this time of tithes and offerings, I know as soon as I say those words, many people just shut right off. But I'm telling you again, this is the time to get your notebooks out and your pen. It is so vital that we learn God's kingdom finances. It is not God's desire for his children to be broke and in debt and struggle. God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his children. That's the word of God, not my words. God takes pleasure in your prosperity. You see, I don't want to stand up here and manipulate you and try to get you to give. That's not my desire. That's not God's desire. God's desire is to teach you kingdom principles so you will always walk in prosperity. You know, I raised my children to be good stewards of their finances. I didn't do that so that they would give to me. I did that because I wanted them to be successful adults. And that's why in church we share kingdom principles so that the kingdom, the body of Christ, will be successful adults. Listen to me. Money is spiritually neutral. Can you hear me? Money is spiritual neutral. It is not evil. Money is spiritually neutral. It can be used for good or evil. It is the love of money that is the root of all evil. And that's in 1 Timothy 6:10. So not money. Money is not evil or bad. It is neutral. It is the love of the money where the problem lies. God always deals with the heart and the motives of the use of money. If the motives are pure, then the fruit and the planting will produce very, very, very good fruit. It is his word, whatever we sow, that shall we also reap. When we obey, we are blessed and prosperous. You actually might be more wealthy than you think sitting in this place. Because remember, the woman that gave her two mites gave more than even those who gave the wads. You see, it's a matter of the heart. The motive of your heart is the measure of true wealth. And God takes pleasure in the prosperity of his people. It makes him look good. It makes him get glory. The Israelites, they looked at them and they said, surely they must serve the true and living God. That is his desire for his children, that we be successful stewards in our finances. You know, I finished reading this book last night. And I would encourage you, because it is so important for the body, the children of God, to get money right. Because we've gotten it all wrong. When we're participating in this world system, we will come up short every single time. Frustrated, like having holes in our pocket. We have got to get into kingdom finances. Tithing, sowing and reaping. Everything belongs to the Lord. Everything comes from him. Even we sang about it this morning, even our breath comes from God. We're called to be good stewards of what he gave us. It actually says in the parable of the talents, to those who had, he gave more. To those who had, he gave even more. To those who did not have, he took away even what they had. We have got to get our minds turned around about the way we think about money, because God desires you to be prosperous. I want you to say that out loud, because I want to break down some mentality that's in the body of Christ. I read this word so much. I wake up most of the times 4:30 in the morning, and I just start reading and delving in this word. And I'm telling you, everywhere I read in this word, it is prosperity. I have never seen anything other than prosperity. So if you want to argue with me, go ahead. But it's the word of God. It's the word of God, true and true. He desires you to be prosperous. So I want us to say that together. God desires me to be prosperous. All right, let's try that again, because I don't even believe any of you. God desires me to be prosperous. Amen. So we're going to be taking time every single week like we do to share on stewardship and prosperity. But I started reading this book, and if you want to get a head start, because I'm the kind of person, I just want to do it now. When I start learning, I just delve in. I couldn't put this book down until I finished reading it. It's called True Wealth, Sound Economics. Now, I know you all have your pens and your phones, and you're typing this so that you can read this. True Wealth, Sound Economics by Craig R. Smith. And he uses the Word of God to show you what true wealth is. Wealth, according to this world system, is empty. And we need to be, the children of God should be the most financially sound people in our region. It doesn't make God look good when we struggle, when we're broken, and when we're in debt. And God desires to get glory from our lives. Amen? So don't cringe when I stand up here and start talking about finances and tithing and money. Grab your pen and your paper, because we are going to move to a place where every single person sitting in this place, you see, you're brilliant for coming to the house of God. You are brilliant, because you are going to learn. It is so awesome with God's kingdom. He can make everything brand new in a moment. So you might have come in here with poverty and a poverty mentality. You can leave this place with a wealth mentality, a true wealth mentality, and God can turn things around so quickly. That is the most exciting part about being a part of Kingdom Finance. I love Kingdom Finance, because God is miraculous and supernatural, and He turns things around quickly. But we've got to be obedient. We've got to desire to hear and learn and know. Amen. So are you ready this morning to enter into kingdom sound economics and be obedient with your tithes and your offerings? Amen. Stand to your feet. We're going to make our supernatural declaration. It's from Deuteronomy 28. And it says, repeat after me, if I obey, then I am blessed going in, and I am blessed going out. I am blessed in my storehouse, and I am blessed in my basket. The blessings have chased me down. They've tripped me up, because I'm a child of God. I'm blessed. Come on and give your tithes and offerings.
All I require for life, God has given me. I know who I am.
Hallelujah. Bless God. How many of you love Jesus? I love God. Don't you love God? You know, it's amazing how each of us love God in different levels, and I challenge you to grow up in Jesus. Amen? One of the great parts about being in the body of Christ is that we all are growing, or not. The challenge is to constantly grow. Turn to someone and say, you got to grow. I have a saying with my staff, actually. It's called, you got to grow or you got to go. So if our staff isn't growing in their skill sets of leadership, then they know they got to go. It's not that we don't love them, but if they're not going to grow, then they can't stay on staff. Because growing is essential, because it's not just about you. Can I hear an amen? We've been ministering on, turn to someone and say, I think you're dirt. On dirt, we talked all about dirt and how important dirt is and how God's seed, the seed of heaven, is always perfect. Everybody shout, the seed of heaven is always perfect. That's right. So the issue is never the seed. The issue is the dirt. And we've talked about dirt. We talked about the four levels of dirt and the different things that were going on. And today I'm going to be long. I'm going to preach very long today. I'm praying for reverse psychology, because every time I say short, I preach longer. So I'm trying to work myself different here. So I'm preaching very short today, and I'm going to preach on getting planted. I found something to be true, where if you're a seed, anybody shout, I'm a seed. My life is seed. If you're a seed and you never get planted, then how can you grow? And this is a truth. Now, the Bible declares in Psalms chapter 1, verse 3, it's our verse for the year, and you shall be like a tree. Turn to someone and say, I'm a tree. Planted by the rivers of water that brings forth its fruit in its season, whose leaf also shall not wither, and whatsoever he does shall prosper. You see, today God's design is that you're a tree. We talked about being a tree. Turn to someone and say, I'm a tree. The goal is to be a tree that's going to produce fruit. Why? Well, because that's what trees are supposed to do. Have you ever had a tree in your yard that was dead? Did you ever try to sit under it for shade? No, we had some trees in our backyard. In fact, they were very large trees, over 40 footers. And I'm not even exaggerating. They were getting so old and decrepit that one fell and destroyed our deck. Another portion fell, a 40-foot limb fell off. It was a 40-foot, I want to say a 35-foot limb fell off, literally spanned across our deck, took out the corner of our garage, and hit the neighbor's fence. So the insurance company was waiting for us to call them every year. And I made a decision that these trees are not healthy enough to remain standing, so we cut them down. Now, this is an issue where we start talking about in John chapter 15 about how God calls us trees and how God has called us vines. And he is the husbandman, and we are in the vineyard. And he looks at us for fruit. Fruit is a necessity for God to call us and to keep us. So we must be people, in this year especially, trees planted. Turn to someone and say, you got to get planted. We live in a unique society now where most people do not, listen now, there is a difference between the North and the South. Can I hear an amen? All Southern folks say amen. The North and the South are different. And what do we mean by that? In the South, and below the Mason-Dixon line, they have what's called the Bible Belt. And in the Bible Belt, everybody goes to church. I mean, you could be drunk. You could be drunk, and guess what's going to happen? You're going to church on Sunday morning. You're even going to give. Why? Because it's just what they do in the South. In the North, it's a little bit different. In the North, getting people to come to church is a crowbar, a baseball bat, some candy, a spa package. We do what we got to do to get you in the house, to get the gospel in you, prayerfully to bring a transition so that God's Spirit can touch you. You see, there is a difference between the North and the South. But this main movement that's going across the nation is staggering, and you need to hear about it. I know I've shared a little bit before, but there's a horrific thing happening in the body of Christ in America right now. And that is this, is that most church people, on average, only go to church one out of every 3 weeks. So we're finding that people are not getting planted. Now, there's an issue with people not getting planted, and it is a phenomenally wise, diabolical plot from Lucifer himself. Well, why is that? Because when we are not planted, then we can never get near the water. Oh, the verse, remember? Psalms 1:3. Should be like a tree planted by the water. By the what? By the water. Who's the water? The Holy Ghost. When you and I are not planted properly, then we are people that will never produce the fruit that God has foreordained for you to do. Turn to someone and say, you're not an accident. Tell them you're not here to suck air. You're here because God's got a divine purpose for your life. You are so absolutely important to the plan of God. And what's happened is there is an uprooting in the body of Christ. The Bible says in the last days, even the elect will be deceived. Those who grew up in the house of God, even preachers, man, where they no longer keep God as a priority in their life. There's very, very easy to understand the kingdom of God. Love the Lord your God with all of your heart, all of your mind, all of your body, and all of your strength, and love your neighbor as yourself. If you do these two things, you fulfill all the law and the prophets. We know according to the kingdom, Matthew chapter 6, verse 33, and it makes this declaration, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. See, this principle is mandatory to get into our spirit to become the fruit producers that we're called to do. Now, I don't know about you. I love blessing other people. I love being a blessing to folk. I love it when they experience Jesus, and sometimes it has nothing to do with Jesus and the aspect of me running around with a tag on my head, but maybe they need a dollar, or maybe they just need a ride, or maybe they need some help. I love helping people. Listen, I want to challenge you to do something. We're going to start something here in the next few weeks, and it's called, is it disruption? It's called disruption. I had to disrupt the ruption, so we have it. Disruption. We're going to teach you how to disrupt everything about your life and everybody else's. We're going to teach you that you are people of disruption and that God has called you to make a difference. Amen. But there are certain keys that are mandatory to making sure that you stay in the process of God's blessing. Now, how many of you want to be blessed? Well, a lot of people say they do, but they don't really. We've got to make a decision that we're going to do the will of God to remain in blessing. Psalms chapter 92, verse 12 makes this declaration. The righteous shall flourish like the palm tree and shall grow like the cedar in Lebanon. Now, I don't know about you. That's pretty exciting. And then it says this. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord shall flourish in the courts of our God. There is a key here. Remember that Jesus said there are keys to the kingdom. There are certain things that allow you into certain doors. Honor brings access. And when you are allowed to go into that door, it opens up a whole different room. There are many that are sitting out and standing out in the foyer of their walk with the Lord. And God loves you. I'm not saying that you're bad. I'm not saying that you're not special or unique. I'm saying that Jesus loves you so much, he didn't save you to stay in the outer courts. He saved you to give you the very best that he has. You're his babies, for goodness sakes. He doesn't want to give you secondhand goods. He doesn't want you to take you to Kmart to give you just what's left over. He wants to take you into the best land. It's called the promised land. Now, in the mindset of God, that means you've got to come into certain rooms. We have a will. How many of you have a will? How many of you have a really strong will? How many of you need your will, like, harnessed a little? Too much laughter on the front row. That's all I know. Every one of us have the will to do the will of God or to do our own. And what I love so much about the Lord, I love hate this about God, is that he'll never make you serve him. He'll never make you to be prosperous. He'll never make you to walk into the best lands. He'll allow you and I to be the ones that govern how far we go in Christ. We are the ones who determine all that we can get from God or all little that we don't have. And today I want to challenge you. The Bible makes that declaration in Psalms chapter 92, verse 13. Those that be planted in the house of the Lord, shout the house of the Lord. Shout, I love the house of the Lord. Shall flourish. What does flourish mean? It means, baby, you're going to bloom. Shall flourish in the courts of our God. You see, God wants you to be blessed. I'm not sure if I like this program. What do I do to get to the next one? There you are. Verse 14. And they shall still bring forth fruit in old age, and they shall be fat. Now, I don't know if I like that part. They should be fat. That simply means you're going to live a very blessed life. Amen? How many of you want to live blessed? How many of you want to live cursed? Listen, if you don't want to live cursed, then we've got to do it God's way. For it's God's keys that open the door. For what? For the kingdom principles to be manifested in our lives. We don't have the right to tell God, do it my way, and if you don't bless me, then I'm mad at you. We've got to walk in his law, in his precept. These are his principles that he set, and he is from everlasting to everlasting. And the last I checked, he's still the king. Can I hear an amen? I want to prosper. I want to flourish. I want to see all that God has for me. I do not want to survive. I want to live in blessing. Now, the key of that verse is that you've got to be planted where? In the house of the Lord. There has to come a shift in your spirit. From the mentality of going to church to going to the house of God. Listen, when I come to the church building, you need to know that how I think. I don't come here saying, okay, I was just praying it with our staff. God, we know how to have church. We can have good worship. We can shout loud. And God, we can do it all right according to even religion. But Lord, we're not interested in having church. We're interested in your mood. We're interested in what you want to do. We're interested in how you want to change people, how you want to touch people, how you want to work in our lives. You see, this is not our house. This is God's house. Man, we've lost something. I remember years and years ago. Man, you didn't dare to do certain things in church. Why? Because you'd be in big trouble. Why? Because it's God's house. Nowadays, we've lost a reverential fear. Listen, it's not that God lives in here, but there are designated places where we worship him in collection, where we worship him in a corporate anointing. And that is God's house. There must be a respect again that is rebirth for the house of God. And one of the things is that I just go whenever I want to mentality. You see, when a king, especially when we start talking about King Saul and King David, I want to remind you that King David was being what? He was being pursued to be killed by King Saul. But you see, the king had a place setting at the king's table for David. And David one day did not show up. Well, there was good reason. I mean, he was trying to be killed. Saul was trying to kill him. There was good reason. But this was the statement of Saul. Why is David's place empty? Here is an issue that, again, we've got to wrap ourselves around because it has everything to do with being planted. God can only do so much when you're transient. Does everybody know what transient means? Can we show the slide up there for me? I want you to look at this tree, and I want you to see this tree. I just bought it yesterday. It is going to be a beautiful tree. They come out with these massive pink flowers all in the spring. And it is absolutely gorgeous. But there's something about that is a little peculiar about this tree that is not right. Everybody say, it's just not right. Well, what's wrong with it? It's not in the ground. It is balled up. It is actually a transient tree. This tree has been packaged to be moved. Yesterday, they took a forklift and they loaded it on the back of my pickup truck. They loaded it and they said to me, now when you plant this, make sure that you cut these strings because it will open up and now what will occur is the roots will be enabled to go into the ground and allow the tree to become what it's called to be. But many of us are still living balled up. We are transient. Now, I'm not saying we're not a tree. The Bible says that we are trees. But there is the next statement that is so powerful about you and I becoming flourishing and about prospering, even in our old age, is that God says this tree must be planted. And you see, there is this movement that's happened in the church world where people are no longer planted in the body of Christ. They're no longer planted in the kingdom of God. They visit church. They visit God's house. They step around. Listen, I challenge you to do this. I challenge you to take your calendar from January to today. And listen, you got one mark that's really good on there today. And I'd say, Lord, how many weeks have I missed? Have I missed more than I've been? And if it's yes, then it's simple. You are not planted. Which means no matter how much God wants to bless you, there is a key missing in your house. Listen, I know, oh, it's just the pastor trying to get people to be faithful to church so they give more money and he becomes richer. You have no clue. The fact is I know this, is that God has greatness for you. I didn't say goodness. I said God has greatness for you. The plans that you and I have devised in our own heads don't even compare to what God has planned for you. He said, I want to bless you abundantly, above. That doesn't mean just okay. Abundantly above all you could even ask or imagine. But the way to get to that place of flourishing, you see, this tree wants to flourish. This tree is programmed to flourish. And remember, it started as a seed. That seed, when it was put in good ground, and I want to guarantee you this, this tree sold for $99. It would not have sold for $99 if it was broken or it was all ragged and it was dried up. It's this way because the people at the nursery said, I need to make money, so I'm going to take the seed and I'm going to put it where it needs to be in good ground. I'm going to water it. I'm going to weed it. I'm going to protect it. I'm going to grow it. And now we see we have a little tree, but this little tree is screaming out, plant me. I am a tree. I have leaves, but I will never be what I'm called to be until I'm planted. Now, I'm really not, I'm not a horticulturalist. I did that right. Did I say it right? Jesus. What type of tree is this? This is a magnolia tree. They come out with this massive pink flowers all over the place. I guess they're absolutely beautiful. And they get huge. But you see, this tree, as much as it wants to be huge, will never be huge. I said to the guy who sold it to me yesterday, I said, sir, what happens if I don't plant this tree? And he said, it's simple. You'll start seeing the roots start popping out of the burlap. I said, you mean the burlap won't keep it in? He goes, oh, no. The roots are stronger than the burlap. And so this tree needs to grow. So the burlap is going to be busted by the roots that are in there. But he said, watch this. If you don't plant it soon after, it will die. And many have died because they've never been planted. in the house of the Lord. Well, you know, there's a lot of reasons why people aren't planted. Some people have really good reasons. Can I hear an amen? I should say really good excuses. Some people don't because, well, I just don't want to get hurt again. I was in a church, and you see, when I went to this church, I got my feelings hurt. And you know, the pastor said something, or the pastor didn't shake my hand, or somebody gossiped about me. Well, you know that person on the third row? I know who they really are. There are too many hypocrites to go to church. Listen, if there are no hypocrites in church, then the church has failed. Because the church is a hospital for those that are broken. And it's in this location, it's in this anointing, that God can take a hypocrite and change them around. How many of you have been a hypocrite before? You better stink and raise your hand, or you're one now. Everybody's been a hypocrite. Everybody at some point in time has been a hypocrite in your life. Why are we casting stones? Can I hear an amen? Well, Pastor, I would go to a local church, but, you know, I'm one who travels around and goes to many churches. And I go to many churches because, you know, the move of God will happen over here. And then I'll hear there's a prophet over here. And then I'll hear there's an apostle over here. And then I'll hear and I'll say, for goodness sakes, you're so transient, you're looking for another high. Listen, you can take this thing and put it in the ground in one location, dig it up the next day and put it in another location, pick it up the next day and put it in another. It's never going to be healthy because there must be stability within the tree. This is not man's plan. This is God's plan. Can I hear an amen? Turn to someone and say, God created the church. Now, people have messed it up. God knew that. He knew we'd mess things up. Amen? And how many of you have helped mess it up? You better raise your hand. Oh, Pastor, well, there's a better church down the road. Listen, the church isn't the problem. It's the tree. There's not a perfect church. Every church has issues. There's things in this church I don't like, and I'm the pastor. It's the truth. My staff doesn't always like me. It's true. The fact comes down to is there's not a perfect church. Because if there is a perfect church, it's not a church, it's a club. The church is for the unhealthy. The church is for those that need help. The church is for those that are struggling. The church is for those. There is never greener grass on the other side. Well, I like it better over there. You know what? Soon you're not going to like it over there because you ate all the grass. You know what? I'm writing a book, and it's a book on how we are a consuming church in 2016. What does that mean? We eat at the Mexican restaurant until we're sick and tired of eating the Mexican restaurant. So then we go to the Chinese restaurant. We're sick and tired of eating Chinese for all 5 or 6 weeks. So now we're going to bump over to a buffet of some other type, and we keep popping from buffet to buffet trying to satisfy, but we never eat solid food. You see, the word of God is so absolutely clear, unless the tree is planted by the water, it will never produce and prosper like it's called to prosper. There must be a shift in our mind and our spirit to get back to the body of Christ. And listen, this is not my house, this is God's house. And if it's God's house, then why aren't you here? I know God's here. Listen, if God's not here, I'm the first one out. Well, you know, I would stop being transient if my circumstances were different. Really? Now, I know there are workers. I'm not speaking against workers. We have state police officer. I honor you, man of God. We have doctors, and we have nurses in the house. We have guards in the house. You don't have a choice. That's life, and that's the occupation that you're in. But the majority of the body of Christ are not in that. And what's happened is, we sit back and we think it's us that we're just making choices. We're not making choices. We're actually being pawned by the devil, because he knows that if you actually become this tree that's planted by the water, you actually get planted in a local church that God is moving in. You actually get in good ground. And listen, every tree not only takes, but it gives. See, there's different types of root systems. Remember, we talked about the second type of, in Matthew chapter 13, the second type of ground, and it was the stony ground. And the stony ground was that they received the gospel with excitement, but what happened was they grew no root. And this is many people where we get saved, and God, I'm talking like a genuine experience with Christ, but yet we never take the time to build the root system that will truly change our lives. Do we have that, folks? You see, these main two root systems, oh, I need you to stay up with me, guys, please. Thank you. Yep, I'm going to need you to stay right up with me because I'm actually, these are my notes for the morning. One more. These two dynamic types of root systems. One more. A fibrous root system that is like a pine tree. How many of you have ever seen pine trees blow over? Especially in strong storms. But then you have the root called a taproot system. Which is an old, have you ever driven by a field, an old farmer's field, and there's an old, old tree sitting in the middle of that field? It's never a pine tree. We grew up in New England, and this mountain called Mount Monadnock. And the trees that are on Mount Monadnock are the taproot trees. Because the regular fibrous roots would never withstand the winds. They'd never withstand the storms. They'd never withstand it. Why? Because the roots do not go deep. Until you are planted and the roots are allowed to grow deep, then you are always endangered to be blown over. This is so powerful. And I just pray you get this in your spirit. I'm absolutely concerned for the body of Christ because, again, even at his tabernacle, I think I told you last week, 3 weeks ago, there were 180 people missing for 3 weeks. In our area, that's two churches. And when you call them, you usually hear, well, I'm just busy. Well, you know, I've got other things going on. Well, you know, I slept in. Well, you know, and I'm saying to myself, no, they don't understand. This is not about pastor needs a larger congregation because God will always save more people. God will always fill your seat if you're not in it. But God's design is never to fill your seat. God's design is that you get a taproot. God's design is that you fulfill your destiny. God calls you his son and his daughter. God has purposely, he's anointed you. He has a special gifting on you. Why? Because he needs you. You see, your tree isn't just some tree sitting in the middle of an orchard or a field, but God has called you specifically at this time of history, at this moment, because he needs you. He has an anointing on you to change lives. And if we don't start getting grounded and rooted, if we stay in a ball, if we stay transient, the cool part about every, especially a fruit tree, is that no one walks into an apple orchard in the fall and says, wow, that is beautiful bark on that tree. You know what everybody's after? They're after the fruit. Trees, if this tree every spring didn't produce those beautiful pink flowers, then who would pay $99 for it? If you and I don't get planted and we don't produce fruit, then it's all about us. And if it's all about us, then we're missing our absolute calling. People need you. People need your gift. I just buried a lady yesterday, Andrea Roman. How many of you remember Andrea Roman? She went home to be with the Lord. You know what? I was able to actually encapsulate her life with one word. There are a few that you can actually do this, but I actually was able to do this with her life because I watched her and saw her for, I think, 12 or 14 years she was here at the church. Ready? Love. That woman loved. That woman would do anything for anybody at any time. In fact, they picked so much fruit off her tree, sometimes she made herself sick. She was lacking sometimes because she gave everything to everybody. There was an old lady who came to our church. Her name was Anna. And Anna was in her late 80s and early 90s. And she was a very, very needy woman. She got saved at our church. And you know what? Andrea said, let me help her. And so Andrea was at her beck and call 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And you know what? She served that lady till she died. What greater compliment than what anybody can say to our life is they truly loved and their tree produced great fruit. It's not the one bunker. It's not the one bumper harvest. Oh my goodness. Wow. Look at that tree. It's amazing. That was 10 years ago. People forget about the bumper crop 10 years ago that you had. This is a new year and a new day. And this is your tree. Are you transient? Oh, I'm almost done. Are you transient? Are you transient in your mindset? Are you transient in your life? Are you transient with the kingdom of God? Oh, the Bible's so clear. Don't forsake the assembling of yourself as the manner of some is, especially in the last days. Listen, the Bible says that in the last days, sin will increase and the love of many will wax cold. The love of what? The love of God. You see, when you love God, oh, come on now, please understand my heart. Please understand my heart. When you really love God, you want to be where he's at. Well, I have God every morning when I do. But you see, God didn't have it just for you. If your fruit was just for you, I've never seen an apple tree, and I used to work at an apple farm, reach up, grab its apple, and go, boy, you look good. People pick from that tree. You see, today, I want you to know you need to get married to the vision. Well, Pastor, I don't know. I don't know if I like this church. And you know what? We're really cool with that. We'll be a nursery for a while. But sometime you got to get planted. Well, I don't like the music. Well, I don't like Pastor. A lot of people don't like me. I don't understand that. But a lot of people don't like me. I don't know. Everyone loves my wife. It's just not fair. Well, I don't like the youth ministry. We had a lady, Cody did years ago. He did a whole series on sex. Because whether you like it or not, kids are having sex at 9, 10, and 11 years old now. At 12 years old, he's giving a good, godly education on doing it God's way. And a woman said, that is such an abominable church. They're teaching sex to the teenagers. No, the teenagers can teach sex to you. People have every reason in the world, man. If you want a reason to remain transient, you'll always remain in that ball. But some point in time, you've got to make a choice. Well, not really. And that's, I'm sorry, I lied. Because some people will go to the end like this. Now, this will bloom. This tree will bloom in that ball. But it will never be the tree that it's called to be. And what a shame to get to heaven. And Jesus said, you could have been. Remember, the Christians aren't judged in heaven. We're judged in the firmament, which is between heaven and earth. There's no tears in heaven, but there will be tears in the firmament. And the issue is this, is I it's just me. I do not want to get before Jesus and him say, you know, kid, I had amazing plans for you. But you chose to be transient your whole life. When I was an evangelist, I really enjoyed it. And I'll just say this. I was very successful as an evangelist. I saw many, many, many miracles and signs and wonders and many salvations. I was traveling when I wanted to travel. The money was phenomenal, more than I make here. That was 18 years ago. And the Lord said to me, start this church. And I could have said no, and I did for 2 years. But you know, my life has blossomed because I chose to put my roots in the ground. You know, if the church is spirit-filled, if the church is preaching the solid gospel, if souls are being saved and bodies are being healed and people are being delivered, the hungry are being fed, the generations are being proclaimed to, then why would you not plant? And why would you not put yourself in the ground? If you ask yourself that question, it's going to be amazing, your answer. It will only ever be an excuse. And so you have to make a choice. Will I be transient? Or will I get planted? Today, as your pastor, and I recognize I'm not everyone's pastor in the room. Being a pastor is different from coming to a person's church. When a pastor is your pastor, you actually, the Bible says, obey those that are in authority over you. And I know many of you, I'm not your pastor, and someday I pray that you'll allow me to be your pastor. But for those who I am your pastor, I'm going to speak blunt to you. Get grounded. Get off the truck. God's kingdom is ready to bust loose, and we need souls. We need more fruit producers. And God has a great plan for you, and I can't wait to see the joy of the Lord that's your strength when you recognize that you're actually doing God's purposes and God's will. For those who I'm not your pastor, listen. How long do you choose to be this ball? How long? And why? Why? Today I ask, and I prayed this morning and been praying all week, that the Lord will challenge you to get off the truck and say, Jesus, I'm in. Whatever you want to do with my life is not my own. Oh, I say it almost every morning. God, whatever you want to do with my life, I'm yours. Jesus, if you want me to stay, I'll stay. If you want me to go, I'll go. If you want me to be quiet, I'll be quiet. Lord, this church is not a church because of Spencer. This church is because God's in the room, because this is God's house. And Lord, whatever you tell me to do, I will obey. And he knows that. He knows that whatever he asks, I'll do. And this is why we prospered. Because we are a tree planted by the waters. Whatever we touch shall prosper. Amen. Father, I just speak blessing over this congregation in the name of Jesus. Father, I declare that those who are still on the truck, Lord, even some that have been here a decade are still on this truck. Some who've been here 15 years are still on the truck. They're still all bound up in the burlap. But God, today I ask in Jesus' name that they'll make a commitment to get off the truck, to get into the ground, to get into the vision, and that God, their life will truly start to flourish and be plenteous. Even in their old age, thou shalt be fat in Jesus' name. Father, I just thank you for those that are on the truck that are here. That, Lord, we can impart something to them on their way through. But, Lord, I thank you that you're going to fill this house with people that are planted by the water, whose leaf will never wither, and whatsoever they do shall prosper. Today, if your head is bowed and your eyes closed, today, if you do not know Jesus as your Savior, I want to tell you right off the bat, God wants to make you a powerful person. God wants to save you from your sin. He wants to give you direction and purpose and bring clarity to your life. Today, if you do not know Jesus Christ as your Savior, maybe you're in a backslidden condition. Maybe you're not right with God. And today you need to get your life right with Jesus. I want you to raise your hand up right now. If you're here and you need that, you need to get right with God. I want you to raise your hand up right now. I'm not going to wait long. Come on, get your hand up. 5, 4, 3, 2. I can't see your hand. Raise it higher. Well, there you go. Thank you, sir. Last call and one. Let's all stand to our feet. Come on, let's give God praise. Let's give heaven a shout for somebody who wants to make themselves right with the Lord. Don't let the angels outshout you. Hallelujah. Today, as you evaluate your life, I want you to ask yourself a question. Why have I stayed on the truck? Ask yourself, why have I stayed on the truck? And you'll find only excuses. Only excuses. And the first time you start using an excuse, you'll always keep it. Excuses are the most damning for destiny in anybody's life. I refuse to allow an excuse to run my life. Can I hear an amen or oh my? So Father, in the name of Jesus, I declare over this house that, Father, each one will be a great fruit producer. That, Lord, those that are on the truck will get off. Lord, we'll get into the ground. We'll get into the vision. And that, God, we will run this race to win. That we'll have many trees, Lord. So many different types of apple trees. So many different types of pear trees. So many different types of orange trees. So many different types of banana trees. Oh, God, so many types of flowering trees. That, God, whoever would walk in this house would be able to participate with the fruit that's here. And that, God, will always be a place of life and not death. Lord, I thank you. And Holy Spirit, I pray that this word will not allow to go, be allowed to go dead in their ear, but it will challenge them. For Father, this is your house, not ours. And we honor you, King Jesus, for the opportunity of being here. In Jesus' name, and everybody said, amen. The prayer team's around the front of the altar. Sir, that raised your hand, I want you to be brave and meet me down, right down front. If he's here already, praise the Lord. Already gone? We want to remind everybody about the guest reception. If this is your first week, we, Pastor Rhonda and I and the rest of the team would love to meet you. If you'll make your way into the guest reception, and when you go out, if you go over to the side where the bathrooms are, we have some fruit for you. I believe we have blueberry cobbler.